Dr. Chris Merkham is the creator of Inspector Clue, the science-oriented sleuth who may have entertained your elementary-aged child or grandchild. Chris, who once dreamed of being a movie star, began his theatrical career by sneezing on stage with the Waynesboro Players. He progressed through Shannon Arts, and then it was time for college at Virginia Tech.
My parents said, "We're not going to pay for a theater degree, so you have to do something else." So I got my degree in fisheries science.
Fisheries science?
Fisheries science.
Why that?
Well, I thought for a long time about what did I want to do when I grew up. What interested me, if it wasn't theater, because theater was sort of a dream. And I think it was Shark Week, actually, that convinced me that what I wanted to do was study fish.
Shark Week.
Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. So I wanted to do marine biology, and there weren't very many programs in marine biology. So I figured the next best thing was fishery science at Virginia Tech. And then I would go on to grad school and get a master's in marine biology, which, you know, that was the plan. Didn't happen that way, because plans change as you find those other
loves. I've noticed.
Yes.
So what did happen?
Well, when I graduated from Tech, I said, you know what? I'm going to give this theater thing a shot. And I went off to some big cattle call audition up in New Jersey. I got a whole bunch of callbacks and ended up at Wayside Theater as an intern. And I worked there for a year. And the artistic director, he was brand new. They had brought him in from Chicago. So he brought in a whole bunch of Chicago actors. And
you.
And me and a couple other relatively local folks, because we would work very cheap. Spent a year there, learned an awful lot. And then I decided, you know what? I'm going to go to Chicago and pursue this theater thing.
Now, you say you learned an awful lot.
Yeah.
Such as?
You know, an internship is a wonderful thing because you don't get to do exactly what you want to do. You know, I wanted to be on stage. And, of course, I did get to do that. But I also got to work in the scene shop and in the costume shop and in the box office. And you learn all of these other aspects of theater that maybe you'd never really realized were there.
Did you like the life?
I did. At that point in my life, I loved it. And so I continued to follow the dream and went to Chicago. All those Chicago folks convinced me that that was the next logical step to build my resume. Mm-hmm. But there is a ton of theater in Chicago. I think when I moved out there, they said there were over 200 small theaters.
Now, let me ask you this. You were talking about dreaming about being a movie star mm-hmm. when you were a kid.
Right.
Now it seems as though it's legitimate theater that's attracting you.
Theater, since my exposure was to theater when I was in high school, I fell in love with it. And there's a feeling there that's unlike any other, especially when you get that instantaneous feedback from the audience. And the other thing about theater is it all exists in the moment. You know, you work for weeks putting a show up on its feet, and then you're on stage and you do the show from start to finish, and you live the life of the character in that moment. And every time you do the show, it might be a little bit different. And it becomes this living entity all of its own, which is just, it's really, really fascinating. And you become attached to it. But then when it closes, it's over, it's done, and you move on. And I really didn't have any experience with film and television before I moved to Chicago. But since that was a goal, I started taking classes at several of the conservatories and institutes in Chicago just to figure out what it was like and see if it was something that I was interested in. And while I was there, I did start doing some film work, worked on some independent student films, and my eyes were open to this whole other world. I remember being incredibly fascinated by the work that the technicians did with the lights and the sound and having the microphones, and you're trying to do an intimate scene with one other person, and you're standing there face to face, and on one side of you, you've got somebody holding a mirror trying to reflect the light up into your face, and underneath of you, you have somebody holding a boom microphone that's about chest level because it's a tight camera shot, and you're trying to put yourself into the moment and act with this other person with all of this happening around you. And I remember in that moment going, this is cool. I was in Chicago for about 7 years doing a lot of theater. And that's when I found children's theater, because it was the one thing in Chicago that pays a livable wage. And as an actor, you know, you're always looking for the next paycheck. So I was doing all sorts of, you know, temping and working in offices and that sort of thing. And then I got a job working for a touring children's theater and discovered that branch of the theater world, which was completely different from stage theater, because you go from, in our case, school to school and library to library, performing in gyms and cafeterias and multi-purpose rooms.
Sort of found space theater.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to be able to adapt your performance to the space. And, of course, your audiences range from 50 to 300 kids. And they're a different type of audience than any other audience that I've ever performed for. Because their responses are so unrefined. I hate to say unrefined, but, you know, they don't sit there and clap politely, you know, if they're not enjoying it. If they're enjoying it, you know it because they're laughing and they're talking to each other. And if they're not enjoying it, they're probably going to get up and wander around. And I really fell in love with it. I really liked performing for the kids. And, you know, after the shows, we would be taken down the set and the kids would come up and want to talk to us and ask us questions. You know, a lot of times it was their first experience with live theater and they were amazed, and talking to them about it and their experience and what they remembered and what was their favorite part. You don't get that talking to a lot of other adult audiences.
Sort of an unedited response.
Exactly. And very honest.
Do you like kids in general?
I do. That was when I realized how much I liked kids. And that ultimately led me to start my own company, because I have this science background with, you know, fisheries science being my undergrad degree. I grew up watching Mr. Wizard and, you know, all those science shows on TV. And I saw a lack of quality educational performances that revolved around those core curriculum subjects like science.
You mean in children's theater?
In children's
theater.
That was
accessible, that would go into schools.
Right. A lot of what goes into schools are things that focus on bullying, you know, more character issues. But there really isn't or wasn't a whole lot that was theater-based that also talked about science stuff. And I thought, why not?
So you're looking at co-curricular theater, really. Theater that would augment,
yes,
either information or stimulate interest.
Exactly. Exactly. There is a term for it. I can't remember who coined the term, but it's edutainment. You know, educational entertainment. Because, and this was what I saw as I was working for other people going around from school to school, was that when the kids were laughing and enjoying what they were watching because it was funny, it was slapsticky, it was silly, when you get that educational content in there, it sticks with them. They remember it. And so I thought, why not put that together with some of the stuff that I'm interested in? So I decided to start my own company. And
now, wait a minute. When we left, you were in Chicago,
right,
touring.
Right.
You're now in the Shenandoah Valley.
No, this
touring.
This was while I was still in Chicago.
I beg your pardon.
Yes. I thought, what a great opportunity, Chicago. There's all these schools.
All these actors.
I can put something together here and, you know, stay local. Because the one bad thing about doing the touring children's theater was you were on the road a lot, 3 months at a time. As much as I loved what I was doing, being gone from all of my friends for that long got tiring.
The glamour wears thin after,
yes,
a while.
Yes. So after about 2 years, I said, you know what? I like doing this type of thing, but I want to do it closer to home, or my home at that point. So that was why I decided to start my own company.
You just sat at the breakfast table one morning and said, I'm going to start my own term?
Edutainment.
I'm going to start my own edutainment company.
Yeah. I don't know if it was the breakfast table, because back then I didn't get up that early.
The brunch table.
I was probably sitting around a table at some, you know, less than reputable establishment with a beverage in my hand going, this is what I need to do. So I wrote a show. I wrote a play about energy. It's called Clue's Energy Adventure. And I used a very formulaic approach, only two actors. One actor plays one part, the other actor plays multiple roles. And
but the main part is Clue.
Yes, or... Inspector Clue was the main character. You know, I drew on everything that I learned working for all these other companies and you know, what worked and what didn't work and put it together. It took me, I don't know, maybe 6 months to put everything together before I had it solid and ready. And I'm like, okay, now I'm going to market this and see what I can get going here.
You didn't have a grant. You didn't have a,
nope.
You know, doors open. It's just.
No money. No money whatsoever.
Oh, good. I like this. Go on.
What money I did spend, and I did have to spend a little bit of money buying supplies and that sort of thing. But
false noses or whatever
right.
needed.
But it's amazing what you can find at Goodwill. The major expense that I had actually was paying someone to paint the backdrops for the set, because that is a talent that I do not possess.
And it's a wise investment.
It was,
in
yes,
theater.
It is a wise investment, and I still have those backdrops. They still look wonderful. So I paid somebody to do that. My budget was less than $500. And then I started sending letters and calling schools, and I finally got one show, my debut performance, in a school on the south side of Chicago. I was excited and scared because here we go. If this doesn't work, or
did you have a name for the company?
I did. I had come up with Impressions Theater.
Okay, so that first name is still going.
Yes. It took some thought. I actually wrote a business plan before I did anything. It's like, you know what? I'm going to do this because I might down the line want to get some investors, because I figured it might take some money at some point. So I wrote a business plan, came up with the name, got a logo, and went from there. So Impressions Theater's first show, it went very well. I was very pleased.
Now, we've got Inspector Clue.
Right.
What happens? How long is the show? Give us a little sense of this fabulous event.
The premise of the show is that Inspector Clue is hired by a mad scientist to track down his missing energy source. He gets a call from a character named Al Gore, who is the assistant to the mad scientist. And yes, there is a play on names there. And so Al Gore is, my master's in desperate need of your assistance. So we find out that the great Dr. Finkelbugger, who Clue can never pronounce his name correctly, which is one of the bits that
gets
kids
giggles.
Love, you know, he calls him Dr. Funky Burger and Dr. Floppy Bopper and anything silly.
Silly, I think, is underrated. Let me just add that.
I agree. I think we lose some of our silliness as we grow older, and it's a terrible waste. So Inspector Clue meets Al Gore, finds out that the doctor is missing the energy source for his new creation, and he thinks it's been stolen. And so Clue accepts the case and decides to track down the missing energy source. And then he realizes, wait a minute, what is energy? How am I supposed to find something if I don't know what it is? So he goes to his good friend Dewey the librarian to learn all about energy and what it is. So Dewey informs him of the definition of energy and the definition of work. And at the conclusion of that scene, they decide that the person who must want to steal this energy source must use a lot of energy. And there's only one person that could be, and that's Busy Bee, who's always doing lots of work. And so Inspector Clue goes to confront Busy Bee, and Busy Bee informs him, no, he's not a burglar. He gets his energy from the food that he eats to do all of his work. Then we learn all about the different types of energy and the different forms of energy. And eventually we find out that the one who probably stole the energy source is the Waster. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, my.
So the Waster is the villain.
The 21st century's great villain.
Yes, great villain. So Clue goes to find the Waster and tracks her down and confronts her. They have a tussle, and it ends up they decide to have a contest to see who is the most knowledgeable, because knowledge is power. And we invite one of the kids up to participate in the quiz show contest. And of course, the kids, having paid attention this whole time, are able to answer all the questions correctly, while the Waster, who obviously doesn't pay attention to anything, fails miserably. And so gives the energy source back, and we have a wonderful, happy conclusion to the whole thing.
What a marvelous play. I want to be, you know, How old?
I designed it for elementary school age kids. All of those energy things are aligned to the standards of learning. I've since come to say that it is appropriate for all ages because I cannot write something that does not have jokes in it that are aimed at the adults that are going to be there watching. We have a total of, let's see, 4 shows. So there's Clue's Energy Adventure, then there was Anansi the Spider, and then a show about the water cycle and watersheds, and that's called Pirates of the Chesapeake, also starring Inspector Clue. And then last year we did Night at the Library, which was sort of a takeoff of Night at the Museum, where all these stories come to life. Another Inspector Clue show, and right now I'm working on one for next summer.
Which is going to be?
I think it's going to be called The Dinosaur Rock, and it is also an Inspector Clue show. And that's sort of what one of the interesting things is. Inspector Clue has become this living, breathing character.
You'll find a link to Chris Markham's edutainment website, Impressions Theater, which, remember his fascination with the movies, includes a teaser to Inspector Clue's first filmed adventure, on the Spark page at WMRA.org. Back after break with sound engineer Tom Carr.